everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I'm going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a spiky friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful marine iguana. This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Amy, Emily, Hannah Jo, Sierra, Cecilia, and DDG183. Thank you for writing in, and I hope you enjoy your very own episode. To support the mission of this podcast, which is increasing people's wonder for animals while helping them relax, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts and get new episodes every week for your generosity. We just learned on the Patreon whether or not goldfish have a 3-second memory. It is a new series that we are doing called Animal Mythbusters, and the answer to the goldfish question might surprise you, so I look forward to seeing you there. A huge shout out to George Flad for the environmental sounds that are used in this podcast. His work is in the description, and I encourage you to check him out. And now, let us begin to wind down a little bit. If you are a new listener, I welcome you with open arms to our animal podcast family, and if you are returning, you know exactly what I am going to be asking of you. I have 3 primary exhortations for you. The first is to put on a pair of those water shoes, those ones that can go both on land and in water. We are definitely going to be needing a pair of those for where we are going today. And my second encouragement to you is arguably the most important, and it is to realize perhaps where you are carrying some tension. For you, it might be in the neck, in the arms, in the legs, and it may also be the case that you simply don't know where you carry tension. A good exercise to do before you go to sleep, regardless of whether or not you're joining me on an adventure that night, is to do a kind of bottom-to-top body relaxation. Start in your mind from the bottom of your feet and just work your way up to the top of the head. And as you come up through the feet, the calves, the legs, just relax each portion. It is a good exercise for us to know where we carry tension. And here on the podcast, we are the Jell-O squad. We become Jell-O. You can bring up in your mind whatever flavor or color of Jell-O that you like, and do your best to imitate it. We want an Oscar-worthy imitation of Jell-O. The kind of performance that allows us to snatch away the Oscar while it is just inches away from the grasp of Leonardo DiCaprio. As if to say, your performance in that 3-hour movie was pretty good, but I'll take it over from here, buddy. And my last exhortation to you is to give your mind permission to wander and journey with me onto the Galapagos Islands, where the marine iguana resides. Absolutely an amazing experience to be here on these islands. These islands are among the most beautiful places in the world. They sport such a diverse amount of creatures, you would think that they took some notes from Australia. As you guys know, I have my theory as to how Australia got all of their animals. I have postulated that Australians all got together to pull a worldwide animal heist, basically transporting all of the cool creatures to Australia. One might imagine that I just have a room full of cork boards with different pictures of animals and Australia, all with little pins and red twine connecting the dots. Now, of course, that would be incorrect. I prefer yellow twine. But the point is, the Galapagos Islands, like Australia, has some of the most unique creatures in the world, all just kind of concentrated in one place. These islands are famous for the adventures of a particular SS Beagle boarded by a man named Charles Darwin. He actually described the marine iguana as hideous looking and a most disgusting, clumsy lizard. I think we can all come together in saying, how dare you? But looking at this creature, they do have a peculiar appearance. Wide-set eyes, smashed-in faces, little knotty salt-encrusted heads. They look to me to be little Godzillas. I'm not sure if you have seen the movie. I am going to assume you know what Godzilla looks like. But equipped with those spiky dorsal scales, they have an appearance that is truly unique. And the marine iguana is their common name, their scientific name, which I am going to return to a more anglicized pronunciation, is Ablorhynchus cristatus. The former part of their scientific name, Ablorhynchus, is a combination of two Greek words, one meaning blunt and the other meaning snout. The latter portion of their name is a Latin word, cristatus, that means crested. So just from their scientific name, we can deduce that this is a crested creature with a blunt snout. It is awesome just how much information we can get from their name. These animals are, of course, reptiles. They are herbivorous, which means that their primary mode of sustaining themselves is not from other animals. They will live from between 5 to 12 years in the wild, living a little bit longer in captivity, and can weigh from between 1 to 3.3 pounds. That's about 0.5 kilogram to 1.5 kilograms in weight. Given their size, which on average is between 4 to 5 feet long, their weight makes sense. As far as many other reptiles, and even as far as other iguanas, the marine iguana has a pretty distinct appearance. They have those characteristic sharp claws that will aid them in clinging onto rocks in the water, and they have a laterally compressed body along with a flattened tail to help them swim. Depending on the season, their color can be black, red, or even green. The little Godzillas will be feeding primarily on algae, for which I can be thankful. These lizards can dive up to 30 feet underwater to graze on algae beds, and their diet can change quite a bit depending on the circumstances. In the wild, food sources are not always guaranteed, and so their diet can depend on the availability of different algae species. If you look inside the mouth of this animal, you might be surprised to find some razor-sharp teeth. The reason this might be surprising is that this particular set of teeth are not common among animals that are herbivorous. That is because for plant eaters, their teeth are often used more for grinding down material rather than biting into things. But in the case of the marine iguana, they use those razor-sharp teeth to help them scrape the algae off of rocks. That is a pretty unique thing for a herbivore. As a creature that loves to be in the water, and specifically in very salty water, they have a specialized gland that helps them deal with that salt. Like a little geyser, they will sneeze out excess salt, which often leaves that white crustiness on their face. These glands basically prepare this excess salt to be exported out through their nose, an extremely important thing for them to have. Salt has a property of drying out things. It invites the moisture out of pretty much anything it touches. If the marine iguana had no way to deal with this excess salt, they would essentially be desiccated or completely dried out. The marine iguana is the only lizard in the entire world that has the ability to live and forage at the sea. And on these different islands in the Galapagos archipelago, there are actually 11 different subspecies of this animal, though they are remarkably similar. This will come down to certain colorations or patterns on their skin, but not much else. Although their anatomy allows them to be like little crocodiles in the water, they can maneuver around the land as well, but granted, not nearly as well. This animal is not really all that social. They prefer to be more solitary. There are times in which they will come together, especially on nights when it is cold. Similar to penguins, they will group together in order to conserve heat. These are cold-blooded creatures, and so, when the morning time comes, they will go out to bask in the sun in order to raise their body temperature. Their black scales will quickly absorb the heat from the sun until they have enough energy to swim out into the sea. Another amazing mechanism that the marine iguana has is that when they enter into the water, their heartbeat slows to half of its normal pace. This, of course, allows them to conserve that energy that they have just absorbed through the sun and allows them to feed for as long as possible. The marine iguana has basically become a symbol of the Galapagos Islands. They attract tourists and nature enthusiasts from around the world, and apart from our adventure today together, I would like to come here myself and see what the buzz is about. Despite many marine iguanas living across the islands from one another, they are highly synchronized in their mating season. Females will lay from between 1 to 6 eggs on average in sandy burrows, and after a period of around 3 months, the hatchlings will be born and from birth are totally independent. That is simply amazing. Right out of the eggshell, they know what to do and where to go. The natural world is a truly amazing place. They do have some natural predators and are particularly vulnerable when they are young. Their biggest predators are birds of prey, like the hawk and the heron. The marine iguana doesn't have the most sophisticated defense system. They do have some razor-sharp teeth, but there is not much they can do about aerial attacks. Birds as predators are frankly overpowered. And now, let us move on to the name of the episode, marine iguana. Where does it come from or what does it mean? We know why this iguana is a marine one, so let's cover what the word iguana means. The word refers to a large lizard of the American tropics and was used as early as the 1550s. We get it from a Spanish word, which is from a Arawakan word, a West Indies language, and this was simply the local name for the lizard. It was a direct import into English. And now, let us move on to the dad joke portion of the show. Check this out. What do you call an iguana with no eyes? Guana. Wow. After just uttering that joke, I have a very strong impulse to buy a barbecue and to fix things that aren't even broken. In fact, now that I think about it, the grass outside is a little too long. So now that we have been exposed to radioactive levels of dad joke, let us move on to some of the Spotify replies. The question that I asked on Spotify was, if you could be any animal, which one would you be? Mimi Camilla replied, platypus for sure. I've always felt just like a platypus. I am not exactly sure what it feels like to be a platypus, so I envy you. It probably just feels like being the most unique thing ever. It kind of looks like a beaver, a little bit like an otter. It has venom. What even is it? Athena, on the other hand, said, some form of bird of prey. I'd love to soar high in the skies. It seems to have been a very common thing to want to fly. It is only in much more recent history that we actually can. Well, not by ourselves, but with the help of aircraft. Frank Snyder said, I would love to be a crow in the city and befriend some lonely human and bring them shiny objects. It would be really fun to be just a little bit mischievous as a crow. I mean, your reasons for wanting to be a crow are a little bit more wholesome, but so many of you had so many good answers, it's a shame I am only choosing three. And now let us move on to the review on Apple Podcasts. Today we are reading one from Very Carey, who has written all the way from the United States of America, and Carey writes, "With all the world's chaos and general life struggles, falling asleep is nearly impossible. This program helps me relax and reframe my thoughts, quiet my mind, and helps me shut down so I can fall into a deep sleep. The animal facts are interesting, and his soft and slow delivery is extremely soothing. I also love the classic dad joke at the end, delivered like a dry saltine cracker. The podcast is also wonderful for your commute home on those days when your life suddenly morphs into the show Beef." Just my little interjection here, I have no idea what that is, but I guess there is a TV show called Beef out there. Carey continues, "Please add more relaxation exercise in the intro and help me get to Jell-O faster. It would also be nice to have longer segments. My animal request would be an alligator or praying mantis. Thank you for this gift." Thank you, Very Carey, for that very wonderful review. I am so glad that the show helps you to fall asleep when you most need it. I also can't help but be a dry saltine cracker. Thank you for all of the feedback, and I will do my best to continue delivering jokes like a dry saltine cracker. So I encourage all of you to answer the questions on Spotify, or if you are a listener on Apple Podcasts, you can leave a review as well. I love interacting with you guys, so the more responses, the better. To request an animal, you can do so by going to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and clicking on the Submit and Animal Request tabs. To reach out to me, Steph Wolf, for any other reason, you can send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com, or you can go to the Instagram relaxwithanimalfacts and send a message there. For 4 extra Relax with Animal Facts episodes every month, you can go to the Patreon, patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. You can do a free trial, it is totally commitment-free, and you can decide to stay on for basically 25 cents an episode, which is $1 a month. A huge shout out to George Vlad for the ambiance in this episode. His work is in the description, you should check him out. The facts used in this episode came from Oceana.org, NationalGeographic.com, GalapagosConservation.org.uk, Animalia.bio, and EtymOnline.com. What a wonderful creature we have learned about today. We have journeyed out into one of the most popular places in the world. Maybe one of the most famous is being a little more precise. But I suspect that after the Aussies have listened to this episode, by next month they will be only found in Australia. Coincidence, coincidence. But thank you so much for taking the time to join me on this adventure, and I hope that you will join me on the next one with the next animal. Take care.